Okay, type 1B and type 1C super novae have shown very interesting kind of diversity, and this O5BF is one of the extreme, very unique, showing very unique peculiarity. And so together with this, I first kind of summarize the diversity of 1B, 1C supernovae, including the properties of the hypernovae, because it has been discussed a lot during the conference. And this shows the 1B, 1C, and hypernova spectrum, and the defining character of the hypernovae is this very broad line features. And this is due to the blend of many lines, and so that suggests there exists a large mass at high velocity. And that already indicates this hypernovae has a very large kinetic energy with explosion. I'm not talking about the brightness, but just kinetic energy. And famous JLB supernovae had almost exactly the same spectral features here, as has been discussed already. And the light curve of non-3 JLB supernovae tend to be bright, and also the quite broad, sometimes compared with the normal type 1C supernovae. And this is basically the nickel and cobalt decays. Here the cobalt man decay into super iron man to eject the emitting gamma rays, this exciting expanding gas. So using this light curve and spectral evolution, we can estimate the model parameters of the explosion. That is the ejected mass, which directly related to the progenitor mass estimate, and also the kinetic energy of explosion, which is very important for understanding the mechanism and the nickel mass. So here's the parameters which determine the light curve shape, this width, which is the expansion time scale and diffusion time scale, and which gives the relation between energy of the explosion and ejected mass in this relation. And the spectral evolution shows basically the evolution or structure of the expanding velocity, the photospheric velocity. So using these two parameters, the information from observations, we can dissolve the degeneracy between energy and ejected mass and get some good estimate for these parameters. And the model for the carbon oxygen star is just taken from the pre-supernova massive star pre-collapse phase, and just taken by hand, taken the out the hydrogen rich envelope and helium layer to expose the carbon oxygen layer. And this is one example to show the model fitting. And here we compared with the 97 EF and with normal explosion energy. And the model parameters which fits the light curve, but with normal explosion energies, the calculated line are just too narrow, which really lacks we need clearly more energy. And actually, if we increase the exposure energy by a factor of 20 and also increase the ejected material, then we could get reasonably good fit to reproduce those broad features. So the result we obtained is quite amazing. Oh, we have three JLB supernovae, right? Well-observed light curve and spectra, all three are type 1C hypernovae. Exploding energies higher than 10^52 L, 10 times larger than the normal type 1, normal supernova explosion energies, and the inferred the progenitor mass, just translating from sheer core mass to the main sequence mass, is somewhere between 30 and 40-45 solar mass range. And the explosion energy is 30, 40, 60 times 10 to the 51 L. And the nickel mass is also relatively large compared with the other non-type quark-quark type supernova. And we have only three examples, but all three have a similar characteristic. No exception. We plot this information in the main sequence kinetic energy diagram compared with other quark-quark supernovae which you have analyzed. And it is interesting to notice. It seems there is some kind of bifurcation between energy, among energy. And this is my naive interpretation. This point could be the difference between neutron star formation and black hole formation. And the black hole could be active if it's rotating like this, and just quietly quark collapse if not non-rotating. That's kind of naive interpretation. And we could expect much kind of dark supernovae, nothing observed. Mass could show some similar trends, but the nickel mass nickel production is a bit depends on some details. So this could be happening. I don't know exactly. This is kind of the inherent to this energetic explosion. So be careful to use the brightness to define hypernova. Now we come to the type 1B, 205BF. And this spectrum shows clearly presence of helium, so we define it type 1B supernovae. And it shows some hydrogen and weak hydrogen features. So probably in the progenitor, there is some very thin hydrogen rich layer on top of the helium layer. So that suggests the progenitor probably WN star. The uniqueness of this supernovae are seen in this light curve. And especially in U and B band, light curve shows the double peaks. And here and here. And if compared with other hypernovae and normal C supernovae, you can see the uniqueness. It shows double peaks, and the second peak is really delayed, and peaking at day 40, and plus minus a few days. Yes, and in terms of the brightness, initially it's not so bright, but it's peaking at rate, so the inferred nickel mass is as large as 90 BW case. And to model the double peaks in 1D simulation, it's simple. We have to introduce several and especially for this nickel distribution, which is the power of the light curve, we have to assume kind of double peak distribution for the nickel, radioactive nickel. And so in the low velocity region, we have a lot of nickel here, which makes a second peak at very late phase. And the first peak is powered by this relatively high velocity nickel 56 here. And the highest velocity we need to explain the light curve is about 5,000 kilometers per second. And from the spectra, the velocity of the helium layer is about here. So the nickel is not completely mixed with helium in this model. And that's why, probably that's the reason why this supernovae was initially classified as type 1C supernovae, because we didn't see the helium. Then later it changed into helium because the radar heating excites this helium layer to show the prominent helium features. So the model parameters to reproduce the double peak light curve and the spectrum. Spectrum are actually not hypernovae, just normal. And so we need to assume in this 1D simulation double peak nickel distribution, and which could, in reality, could be some kind of jets, is a question mark. And the ejected material, the including helium layer, is about 6-7 solar mass, and suggesting mean sequence mass is about 25-30 solar mass range, rather interesting range. And the best fit for the exposure energy is 1.3 times 10 to the 51 Elf, which appears to be normal. But nickel mass is as large as 0.3 solar mass, is as large as the case in 98BW. And we have helium hydrogen features and suggesting the explosion at WN star. Okay. And this is the calculated the bolometric light curve. And so up to this peak is fine. But then we have some trouble in difficulty to reproduce very sharp decline around here. And in this complete spherical models, we couldn't reproduce this fast decline by changing just parameters. And we had to, in this case, be forced to reduce the gamma deposition, the opacity. And so that suggests the structure is very much different from the spherical geometry. And that can be very easily seen from nebula spectrum at great phase. And we have some data to collect the nebula phase like this, and just all emission lines with oxygen, iron, calcium, so on. And the similar thing you see in the poster by CFA group. And this is the power of the nebula phase study. And this is our model for 98BW to explain the various the features. And at that time, in 2002, we predicted if we look at this explosion from equatorial directions, this lead-like feature should be observed. This is a prediction in 2002. Then we made a proposal to this observe with the Subaru telescope, and this is what we observed. So exactly the, almost the same. This is not the fitting data, but made a prediction. So this double peak really shows the donut-like shape of the oxygen-rich layer, and possibly due to this jet-like explosion. Then we observe this O5DF, and similar you see in the poster by CFF group as well. And this is the early phase of the spectrum. This is the last, almost Christmas observations, and which shows the double peaking of oxygen lines and calcium line, iron, and some possibly, this is the H alpha features, and the broad. And this could, may or may not be indication of the circumstellar interactions, which is an interesting thing to think about. But just we focus on this double peak emission features. And interestingly, this is not just simply double peak, but blue shift, all iron, calcium, oxygen, blue shifted. And if we just line up this, the oxygen, calcium ion, and calcium oxygen layers, we might reproduce the features. So this is just not hydrogen model, that's completely toy model, just locating the elements at a velocity space to try to reproduce these features. If we put iron here, a bit offset, the velocity of the blue shift is about 1500 km per second, and calcium oxygen rich layer. And if you see this direction, then everything just looks like this. And we could try several other things, and so we don't know exactly which is the case yet. And we tried some kind of several absorption, but it doesn't reproduce the feature well. So this type 1b nebula spectrum are very interesting, exciting, blue shifted by 15,000 kilometers per 100 kilometers per second, and with double peaks. So it might be just one-sided ejection or unipolar jets, I don't know. And if there is a kind of neutron star, and it could produce some kick velocity of several hundred kilometers per second. And naively, I'm just thinking about neutron star formation for this case, rather than black hole formation, because the exposure energy is quite normal, and the nuclear mass is quite large. So that requires the mass of the compact remnant quite small, like 1.3, 1.4 solar mass, rather than more than 3 solar mass for a black hole. And so these peculiarities might be due to diffract magnet-like effect. And if you put this guy in this mass energy diagram, it's just located in between neutrons and black hole transition regions. And the kinetic energy of explosion is consistent with 87A and so on. And but the nickel mass is quite larger in this case. But as I suggested, if we go to relatively massive stars, in the case of the neutron star formation, we could produce a lot of nickel here. It's not, we have to be careful to use brightness to define the hyperplanar, but we should use the spectrum to really estimate the kinetic energy of the explosion. And the relation, the case of the WN explosion, and some partial mixing and some jet lag features might be related to the Chassé features. But although the nickel mass is, in this case is quite larger than the Chassé case, but something interesting event is happening in this mass range. Thank you very much.
It's time for discussion. Dr. Kumar. In relativistic versus non-relativistic ejecta, for instance. So in the three cases, for instance, of supernova GRB connection that you have from the modeling, what would you say is the ratio of energy in the relativistic versus non-relativistic?
I have no idea about the relativistic energy.
No, but relativistic, I guess we know something about that part. So the numbers again for the non-relativistic ejecta were 10 to the power 52.
33 times 10 to the power 52.
3 times 10 to the power 52.
And if you introduce effect of non-sphericity, it could be smaller by a factor of 2 or 3. Oh, but still, okay. 10 to the 52 L we need.
And the sphericity calculation or non-sphericity thing is coming from polarization measurements?
The non-sphericity, we produce those, the red nebula phase features and so on. So we have some, but the model we had is a jet lag exposure.
Dr. Dar?
I'm a little bit confused because of the following. If you look at BW, the maximum velocities that you see today are of the order of 4,000, or the last time that they have been seen, they are of the order of 4,000 kilometers. And this is extremely the most extreme velocities of the system. You just take 40 solar masses, multiply it by 4,000 kilometer velocity, you get less than 10 to the 50, few times 10 to the 51 ergs. So I don't understand how you fitting the spectrum suddenly produces a total energy of BW, which is close to a few times 10 to the 52.
I think the structure, just for example, if we take into account the structure of the jets, the density slope is much shallower than the spherical explosion.
I'm just taking the largest possible velocities. All the other velocities in the supernova are smaller. So I allow you to take the maximum velocity you see in lines of BW after a few years. Now, the amount of swept up material is very small still. It's negligible compared to 40 solar masses. So I exaggerate about the possible bulk motion. I take the kinetic energy and just trivial calculation, and I get less than 10 to the 52 erg. And then I see
there's something wrong in the estimation. Let's discuss later. Yeah.
What? Just look from spectroscopy, from the Doppler shift of the lines. They are published. Take all the Doppler shifts that you can measure at the latest time of this has been published. It's not my work.
No, it's a bit discussed at the last time.
4,000 kilometers after a few years. 4,000.
May I suggest that you do this over lunch and hammer it out what the real situation is? Other questions? Other remarks? If not, then let us thank Ken again. Um,